comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello, welcome to a brand new Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Been around for almost 11 years now, jitterymonkey.com, and on all of your favorite podcast apps and in the visual format for your viewing pleasure here on YouTube. And the viewing pleasure may or may not be a little bit of a hard sell, but I digress. I'm your host, Greg Mahochko, and this guy. Oh, this stunning, stunning specimen of a man is Mike Luther. Hello, Mike.
You know, I think I figured it out. Hello, by the way. Because last time we did this and we were pointing same direction. So I think if I do this now our fingers are touching, or at least close by each other. I'm not sure. By the way, that's only, of course, if you're watching on YouTube right now. If you're listening, then you can imagine our fingers touching or whatever you want. That sounds weird, but go for it. Yeah. Imagine whatever you want, I guess. Hello. I'm doing good. I am doing good. I will be glad when all this work stuff is done, because I will be working over the weekend, most likely.
Instead of lover boy was working for the weekend, you're gonna be Mikey boy and gonna be working on the weekend.
Yes. So
how much work you got left?
It's hard to say. I'm preparing for an 8-hour training that I'm doing on Tuesday, and then we have, like, my team is going down to Carterville, Johnny Logan College.
Mm-hmm. Illinois.
Yeah, we're going down there Monday and Tuesday, so I have to have a lot of stuff prepared. I take that back. Wednesday is Tuesday, Wednesday we're going to be there, but we're leaving Monday night to go there. But anyway, yeah, a lot of stuff to do. So
that'll be a good time. Staying the night.
We're staying the night Monday night and Tuesday night, and then we'll do the 8-hour training on Wednesday. Oof. Get done about 4:30, then head back up.
Oof. What do you do on Tuesday?
Tuesday is a big summit. Like, that's a big breakout session. I don't have to. Well, I don't want to jinx myself. Say I don't have to do much. I don't have to do any training.
Gotcha.
I have to do a lot of logistics stuff.
That sounds maybe worse.
I don't know. We'll. I'll be happy Wednesday night when it's all done.
When you're rolling in, getting settled back at home.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we always like to start the show with Mike. Have you read anything?
I have. I don't have the book anymore, but I finished the X-Men Ultimates version of it. I told you they kind of did weird stuff with the origins of some of the characters. The story overall was fine. In fact, I thought it was going to be really good at one point in time, because, spoiler alert, this is 20 years old, I think. I don't know. But Cyclops goes to the Brotherhood of Mutants, and I'm like, ooh, that's interesting, because he's just like, I'm tired of, you know, humans are against us all the time, and obviously, you know, I like what Magneto is talking about. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be interesting, and I wonder, because this is only volume one, it might be volume 4 or 5 when maybe he'll turn back. No, it's like 4 or 5 pages later he's like, oh, never mind, they're really evil, I don't like this.
A little too dark for me.
Yeah, he just goes back. So,
well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, but I did get some stuff.
Oh.
So I got, first one I got is Frank. I don't know if I sent you any of these. Frankenstein Agents of Shade.
You did. I forgot to pull the images.
By our good friend Jeff Lemire.
Definitely our good friend.
Yes. Then I also got Dead Man. It is Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love.
Didn't I let you borrow that?
No. This comes from straight from the library.
Oh no, I mean, I'm not saying. Yeah. But like, haven't I in the past let you borrow that? Because I'm pretty sure I have Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love?
No, no. I don't know if you've let me borrow a Dead Man one yet.
That's not true. I gave you the
like an official Dead Man.
The Neil miniseries, the 4-issue miniseries that just came out a few years ago.
You might have, but not this one.
I'm gonna. All right. You need. Here's the thing. When are you coming to town next?
April sometime.
Okay. Yeah. I like that we've narrowed it down. Sometime you'll just have to come over. Now that I've got everything out of the twins room, yeah. And you can just look over. Individual issues on anything. If it's individually bagged boarded, it's in a box in the garage.
Yeah.
But I tried to keep all the, because those are a pain in the butt to haul around anyway. Yeah. But if they're trade paperbacks or graphic novels, they're still behind me.
Sweet.
So we need to come over here and get you loaded up again.
There you go. I like that. So. And the last, certainly not least, again by Jeff Lemire, is Swamp Thing Green Hell.
Green Hell.
And I haven't even started on that one yet. But what? those are the ones that I have currently, and maybe I'll get to read them sometime next week.
That's not all, Mike.
What else?
Let's not forget, we both received the mail this week our copy Full Tilt.
Yes, indeed.
So,
I have gotten mine hardcover, of course.
That is a big book, buddy.
It is a big boy. That's gonna be a fun one.
Over 300 pages.
Yes.
None of which are numbered.
Okay.
And I almost sent Jason a message, because for those of you, you know, Full Tilt, by the way, if you're just listening to this, you're missing out. Full Tilt, written and drawn by our friend and multiple time guest here on Nerds United, Jason Copeland, and lettered by Troy Pateri, who has done other work with another one of our past guests, and that is Stephanie Phillips.
Nice. So,
He is definitely an established name in the sphere, but I almost sent Jason a message. I'm like, man, what you're missing is that ribbon. That like ribbon down here that could be a bookmark, because this is gonna. I'm gonna have to
get an actual bookmark.
Get an actual bookmark.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, wait, look. We'll use this one. Look at that. Look at that little picture of young Greg.
There you go.
I think I got a bookmark.
I use all kinds of stuff for bookmarks. I have one actual bookmark in this one, and then I have a tag from a piece of clothing, or I think it was socks. I'm not sure. And then I'll have an index card, whatever I can find.
So my wife has been going to the library herself lately and getting some of those like fantasy spicy. TikTok says they're and I only know that they're spicy because like there's a husband and wife account, a TikTok account, and he's reading passages like these, you know, supposedly like, you know, leveled up passages, but he's doing it in various cartoon voices. And so I send those to my wife and she gets a kick out of it. But so rather than buying the books that, you know, she may read once and then move along, she's just getting them from the library, which I guess is kind of why libraries are there.
Sure.
Who'd have thought? But with the kids constantly picking up books and moving books and things like that, she's like, damn it. So she crocheted herself a bookmark.
Okay. So
I got to tell her, I'm like, honey, can you crochet something to attach to the remote control so that it stops disappearing?
Yes.
I actually should. I bet you she'd get a kick out of that.
You should, yes.
Because I keep saying, you know, whenever it disappears for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And I keep saying, like, that's it. I'm going to strap a 2x4 to it. And, you know, but I also know with three young boys that 2x4 is going to be used as a baseball bat.
Yes.
And we don't want that. So
that does not sound good.
It doesn't sound fun. No. So, yeah. So that's all that I've acquired. And wouldn't you know, didn't do a lick of reading. Although, since the last time we recorded, which was last Friday night, and you'll remember this, it doesn't matter to the audience, but we recorded early. And because one of the twins had been sick that afternoon and evening. So I said, oh, well, let me knock out this recording. And I asked permission. I think we talked about that on the show. I asked permission. I said, in case something comes up later, I'd like to make sure that I'm not in the middle of something, you know. And so what happened later was my oldest and my wife both were throwing up all night long. So, that was a fun Friday night, Saturday. And then Sunday night, this guy got the bug. So, and then I was trying to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, trying to get caught up on the work that I, you know, compressing, you know, 5 days of work in 4 days. So I didn't get any reading done either.
It's quite all right. Like I said, it's been busy. It's going to be busy half of next week. So, but then after that, when we record next time, it'll be good to go. Good, big, right. Big event behind us. So,
and I'm excited. We get to some of the housekeeping here. I think last week we teased that we were going to do our Keep Five cereals, breakfast cereals this week. And you asked me this morning, hey, Greg, you got them cereals? I said, I had completely forgot that was our big pick'em of the week. So, and that, which is unfortunate, because more than once this week I said, I got to text Mike and see if we have a big topic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't do that. So that'll happen next week when, you know, because Mike's already got his list ready to go and gives me more time to make a list. So be looking forward to that next week. And the other thing in the realm of housekeeping is our weekly reminder for you to like and subscribe and hit that notification bell if you're here on YouTube, or subscribe on all your favorite podcast apps. And let's get this thing off the ground, you know, doing upward mobility, as they like to say. So be notified every time we drop a new episode, which is about every weekend now. We like to call it New Episode Saturday. And since we're recording on Friday, we'll definitely not, should not be an issue to get this one out on Saturday as well. So excellent, Mike. So have you been watching anything, sir?
I watched the first episode of X-Men 97.
Mm-hmm.
What else have I been watching? I don't think I've been watching much.
Did you watch that movie I told you about?
Which one? What was the name of it?
Damsel?
Damsel, no. No.
Okay.
Was it? It's on Netflix?
It is on the Netflix.
Okay. I'm going to watch it right now. Hold on.
Okay. We had the same situation occur last night when we were doing the Five Heart podcast. We got talking about a documentary about the 90s Huskers. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to turn it on right now. I said, no.
Well, there's actually a documentary on it. Yep. Like, is it on YouTube, I'm guessing?
Prime Video.
Prime. Okay.
What's it called? Day by Day.
Okay.
And it's like for $4.99, you can rent it.
Oh, never mind.
I have another documentary about the Nebraska fans called Through These Gates, and you could borrow that anytime you'd like for free.
Okay.
So, I did, and not out of, you know, curiosity. I mean, I guess curiosity, but I watched last weekend, before everyone got sick, I watched Damsel on Netflix, which, just came out a couple weeks ago on March 8th. So 2 weeks ago today, directed by Juan Carlos Fresnadillo, and starring Millie Bobby Brown, Nick Robinson, Robin Wright, Angela Bassett, Ray Winston, among others. And I think I'd probably watched the trailer and I was intrigued enough by the concept, but the premise is, there is a dragon in this kingdom, and the only way that the dragon leave the kingdom alone is they have to sacrifice some young maidens to the dragon. Not only that, but the maidens have to be of royal blood, which means that when these young maidens who are from outside of the kingdom marry, and I don't think that any of this is a spoiler, when they marry the young prince, part of the process or the ritual is a little slice on her hand, a little slice on his hand, and his royal blood flows into her hand, and that's how the dragon can sniff her out in the cavern. So, I mean, so it's got some of these, like the dialogue between dragon and the maiden who's, if I remember correctly, his name is Elodie. That's Millie Bobby Brown's character. That is kind of reminiscent of Bilbo and Smaug, in the Hobbit movie. But also, you know, it's got some action. It's a concept or a story that I'd not, you know, come across before. So I mean, I really enjoyed it. I think for a little while there was a number one movie on Netflix, and I'm not going to spoil any of the, you know, climactic moments, but I think it's well worth the watch. And again, Ray Winston, who we just sadly lost, you know, last year. So it's another opportunity to see an acting legend there. So I would recommend Damsel.
And is it a movie or series?
Movie. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And it is, let's see, it
it's 6 hours to find it. Long.
No, I was trying to find out its runtime. Wouldn't you know that that's the one piece of business that I can't acquire here in short order. 6.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 56% on Rotten Tomatoes, but you know, I think on Google, you know, which is where, I mean, it's got a 4.1 out of 5 with over 3,900 ratings. So, yeah, I mean, again, I just kind of enjoyed it. You know, it was simple, you know, have on and chill out. A little popcorn.
Absolutely. I like those. That's perfect. Yeah. Check it out.
So, and please do enjoy that. And I don't think I've talked about this, but for the last few weeks, I have been watching Young Sheldon on Netflix.
Okay. Okay. And have you been enjoying it?
I have. Okay. You know, it's a departure from The Big Bang Theory, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you realize that it's like a family doing the best they can, given the circumstances that they have of like a prodigy. You know, I was definitely not a prodigy, so it's all new to me. There's a lot of love in the family. They just don't always know. I think like a lot of families, they don't know how to express it. I can honestly say I've been enjoying Young Sheldon.
Okay. And are you ready for Young Penny to come out?
Is that a thing?
Or Young, whoever the other guy is.
Well, there's Leonard.
Young Leonard.
I actually heard that they were considering a Young Raj spinoff as well.
Young Raj. But I want Young Raj, but it's the same character that plays him in Big Bang Theory.
I don't think that's...
And everybody else around him is actually the proper age, like say 12 or whatever. But he's whatever. He's a 40-year-old just trying to pretend to be a 12-year-old.
who is that actor? Is that Kunal Nanjiani?
No,
we had this conversation once, and we did. Wrong.
Yeah, no, that's not Kumail. Kumail, it was in Eternals, your favorite movie.
That's right. I'm dumb.
That is, I don't know his name.
Well, John. It is Kunal Nayar or Kunal Nayar.
Okay.
So I'm horrible. I feel bad again.
Nobody knows his name. Yeah. They know him as Raj.
Yeah, Raj.
In fact, I know his character's name more than I know his actual name.
Rajesh Kuthrapali.
Yeah, I was going to say Rajesh Kuthrapali.
Yeah.
And also, I haven't seen Big Bang Theory in probably 5-10 years. I don't know.
Okay. They just stick with you. So, so I've been watching that. I'm trying to think if there's... I came across a documentary also on Netflix yesterday. I mean, I found it a couple days ago, but I started watching it yesterday, called The Program.
Is that with Lance Armstrong?
No.
Oh. Well, that was the movie. That's not a documentary, but
no,
the program sounds familiar.
What's the program it? Movie was about a college football program. Not Lance Armstrong is the cyclist.
No, no, but there's yes, I know that, but there okay. was there was a movie that many people did not see called The Program, I believe. Yes, it was called The Program, coming out in 2015. It's on Hulu now. It was, and it's about Lance Armstrong.
Oh, okay.
The dude that played Angel, I think, yeah, Angel in one of the X-Men movies, Ben Foster, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He played.
He was also in 310 to Yuma.
Yeah, he played, yeah, Ben Foster. He plays Lance Armstrong.
Okay. No, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's, yeah, nobody, I don't think anybody saw it.
So this documentary is, it, I think it's only three episodes, and it is about a now closed down school for, it's a school, like loosest definition, for troubled teens that operated in upstate New York near the Canadian border back in like the late 90s, early aughts. And you have realistically victims. I mean, they're past students, but the whole premise is like, oh, if you're got a troubled teen, you can apply for them to be at the school. And if next time they get in trouble, let us know. And like you hear stories of strangers coming in and basically kidnapping these kids and driving them to upstate New York. Be like, you can't go outside. You can't talk to your parents. You can't see your siblings. This is where you are, and now you're in the program. And if you want to graduate and get out, then you know it's all trying to break them down. Trying to, I mean, just the I'm two episodes in, but like the trauma that it experiences and of the worst type. I mean, their mm-hmm. surveillance video of like grown ass men, like picking up kids by their neck. Like they're going to be it, like the giant choke slamming Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what it looks like. And it's, you keep thinking, I'm like, damn, like I'm glad I don't think my parents would have sent me off to something like that. Two, I don't think they would have allowed my behavior to get that bad where, but like so the episode I was watching today was because I had that kind of time on their intake, you know, like not application, but on their when they get there, they have to take a drug test and a pregnancy test, you know, for women. Mm-hmm. Males need not apply. And you know, like this, you know, now a grown adult woman, she's like, I never took drugs, but the person who's processing me saying, oh, your drug test lit up like a Christmas tree. She's like, can I see it? Nope. You know, like, so basically it was, you know, now that the school, I don't know if the people in charge were it, there's sites like this all over the globe. You found out there's like one in Poland or something like that. One in Mexico, like there are a couple in the States. I mean, there, but it's all about like, and the thing is when they're tracking this, you know, one of the past, you know, kids was saying that, yeah, we saw this house of the guy who's at the top of all of these, you know, troubled teen schools. And I guess her parents had spent $170,000 over like 18 months, 2 years, something like that for this re-education. And she's like, yeah, we saw the compound and there's multiple pools and very nice fountains and different guest houses and, you know, basketball courts. And, you know, she's relaying this to her mom. She's like, oh, now we know where all of our money went. So, I mean, it's all like a scheme, you know, but it was under the guise of helping children, but weren't doing a damn bit of good to them. And in fact, in many cases, you know, just causing some very serious mental and emotional and sometimes physical and sexual harm. So it's been tough to watch, but it's been eye-opening because I didn't know places like that existed. Like I remember on MTV, they had Scared Straight, you know, back in the day. And I remember watching that. But this was like that they tell the story of how the guys and the kids in the boys' dorm started a riot. And then like 10 of them got arrested He's like, prison was freedom compared to this place. I was like, geez, you know, it was bad. I would encourage anybody to watch it because, again, I didn't know places like that existed. And it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, I can tell you one. I haven't seen it yet, but I am going to watch it now that you mention it. But I can tell you from what I do for work that the scare tactics don't work. A lot of people, they like these schools and stuff like scare tactics. They like the mock car crashes. They like the someone coming in and talking and, you know, showing, you know, this is what happens when you, you know, use heroin or something. It's just right. A bunch of dead bodies and it doesn't work. But what you're talking about is even worse than scare tactics. And I remember in the, I think it was like 90s and maybe early 2000s, that was a huge thing. The camps that you sent, you know, the teenagers to, that was a huge thing on like talk shows and stuff like mm-hmm. that. I remember watching that and it seems like it would be such a great idea. But then as you look into it, it's like, oh, it doesn't work at all. And they're abusive is what they are.
Do you remember, like, and this is one of like the more, I guess, I don't say positive outcomes because we don't know the outcomes 20 whatever years later, but it's like Ricky Lake or something like that. And sometimes the video still pops up, like the little kid who's 6 or 7, he's kind of being run down by this drill instructor like on national TV. And, you know, he's product of a single parent home. And, you know, the drill instructor's like, what, you want me to be your daddy? And kid's like, yeah. And it's like, yeah. The drill instructor just like melted. I mean, like you could tell.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he was doing the scare tactics with a completely different end game of like this place that I'm talking about here. Yeah. This Academy yeah. of Ivy River.
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called. But, you know, like he just dropped to his knee and gave the kid a hug.
Yeah.
Like that's all. A lot of times that's all these kids need is like, they just want, you know, parents. And like you read that or you know, they tell the story in this documentary that, like one, like kind of the main, like the filmmaker, you know, she was a student there, inmate, depending how you want to look at it. And she's gone back and like, what do they say? A week before her second birthday, her mom died of cancer.
Wow.
And so like they have all this information at the school on in, you know, her file. And so they're saying things like, your mom didn't love you. Your mom abandoned you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And even as like a 15-year-old kid, when she's in there, like, she died of cancer. Like, I don't know what more you,
yeah,
you know, it's like, blame my crazy stepmom for sending me here type of thing. But it's a bad deal. I remember though, we had at our school, because again, for those mm-hmm. of you who don't know, Mike and I were classmates and graduates together. That's right. I graduated. But we had a couple of those mock car crash.
Yeah.
Things. And I remember, you know, one of them, you know, when you go, oh, kids come around and, you know, observe. And one of our classmates had their eyeball like sticking out with a pencil going through it. Like that visual stuck with me. But I think for us, maybe the more, like the more real event that happened, I mean, because it was a real event, was the week after Super Bowl, our senior year, when they had the totaled vehicle parked out by the gym from our classmate who was in a drunk driving accident. So, and he's okay. I mean, he's still living now. I talk to him every couple of years. And he doesn't drink, but you know, like that was more real and impressive in a way, not in a good way, but you know, like more lasting of an impression than, you know, the, you know, smoke machine coming yeah. up from Westland Road there. So,
yeah.
So, oh my gosh, everybody rush outside. What's yeah. going on? Don't run too fast because you can't run in the halls, but.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like, it, don't get me wrong. It'll evoke emotion for mm-hmm. sure in people. But it just doesn't last, and especially with teenagers, because teenagers think they are invincible. They understand it. They go, yes, that could happen to somebody else, not me.
Well, you know? And also, to an extent, and maybe less so in the 90s, but now, you know, 2024, I think we as a society are so desensitized to anything. So,
yeah. You know. I was at a big school. Like I was helping with stuff there. School in your neighborhood, like a really big one, and they did a mock car crash, and it was so funny because how many school students do I think they have? 2,000, 4,000 students maybe, and they all brought them all out to see this car. So there maybe 100 are seeing it,
right?
And the rest are just talking and stuff like that. I'm like
looking at their phones
In fact, one of our classmates was a teacher there, and he saw me, Philip.
Okay.
And he saw me, and we were just sitting there talking to each other. Because he's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" I was like, "Oh, hey, I'm helping out with this." And he's like, "Oh, okay." We just sat there and talked for a while. I'm like, "No, nobody's paying attention to this."
Would you say that this school was on the east side of town or the west side of town?
If I remember correctly, I want to say west.
Okay.
I could be wrong, though, but I want to say west.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And I remember, you know, we're going to move off this topic very quickly. But the last time that we had that Mach 1 when we were seniors, that wasn't like the weird part, but everybody goes back to class, and then out of nowhere, like the music comes over the PA system of Kane from WWF at the time, now WWE, you know, and I was a wrestling fan and I knew exactly what that music was right away. And this would happen like every interval, whatever, like the statistic was that every you know, blah blah blah, a teenager dies in a car accident, something like that. And when that happened, you know, someone who was in the student group at the time who was putting these on would come, and he was dressed as the Grim Reaper, and he would come and he would take a student out of class. And it just so happened that I got to be one of those students at one point.
Yep. Me. Did you know that you were going to get picked, or
no?
Was it...
No, okay. It was all. I mean, I don't think it was random, but I think it was a surprise. So I got one. So basically, what that meant is I got to go to the teacher's lounge, and have pizza for lunch, and watch movies. And the only thing we had to do, because this culminated in a all school assembly at the end of the day, and I had to write my own eulogy.
Okay.
Be like, yep, sorry, I didn't make it. It was a bad decision, and I paid the price, and you know, whatever what you know. So that was me and I don't know 9-10 other kids, and we all had to stand up in front of the school and read our little paper.
So. That's okay.
I'm surprised you don't remember that.
No, I don't at all.
Just getting to school that day.
Yeah. I mean, I can see why you remember it. It was probably just a regular day for me.
That's right.
I didn't get picked.
Well, let's talk about school of another type, shall we? Since it got brought up a little bit here, and that is Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters.
Yes.
As seen here in their X-Men 97 new coat of paint, so to speak. You have watched the first episode in Change, and I have watched both episodes. And I got to say, I it's not what I expected.
Okay.
Not in a bad way. I just feel like they made this show for the people who were kids in the 90s who watched it then.
Yeah.
Like they're, I mean, I was surprised. Like they said, damn, in there. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but like, I'm like, okay, well, I'm probably not going to, you know, put this on for the kids who are repeating a little too much at this stage in their life.
Okay. Fair enough. But
overall, I mean, I like where the story's going. As I mentioned, you're not there yet, but the end of the second episode, things get dicey. Very interesting. And I was, you know, just the animation, people are, you know, just very buzzing about the animation online. And I'm like, okay, I mean, it's good animation. I'm not taking anything. It's not, I don't think it's better than the 90s animation.
I don't think it wanted to be better. I think it wanted to be an exact continuation of that's why it's called X-Men 97.
No. But I mean, like, in the story, I mean, the story picks up a year after the last episode, which I know we talked a few weeks back, and I'm like, I'm going to watch every episode. And right. I didn't. But I got through through the first three seasons. I was into the fourth, and then I'm like, I'm going to pick a few here, jump around. And I watched the last two episodes of the OG series. The second to last one is an origin tale on Mr. Sinister, which I didn't know. And then the last episode is, more human mutant negotiations and peace talks and things like that. And spoiler for something that is 27 years old, the assassination of Charles Xavier. So, this picks up. The team is, figuring out where they're going. Again, it's not a knock to the animation, but I still prefer the 90s animation. But it is. It's the same characters. It's the same story. It's just I prefer the style of animation from the 90s version.
Yeah. I loved the fact that within 15 seconds, or maybe a little longer, we got a 90s knot joke.
Oh, like the setting it up and get like, knot.
Yeah, which I haven't heard since the 90s. And I was like, oh, okay.
Very timely.
This is very, very 90s right here. No, I loved the first episode. They got a couple. I was going to say a couple new characters, but I don't really know who was in 90, who like left off and then who joined. But I don't think Morph was in there.
Morph was at the very end.
Was he at the very end? Okay,
cool. He was basically given, because he was what we thought was killed off in Night of the Sentinels Part 1, which is the premiere of the OG series back in 92. Then he comes back as like a pawn of Mr. Sinister. He finds his way free. And so he's there at the end of the OG run. And we have in this picture Bishop, who was in and out, but I guess now he's more of like a mainstay. Although I don't think he was in the second episode at all.
I'm glad to see him. I'm glad to see Bishop there. We have, I guess that's Wolverine. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, what? things I think they got right. We talked in the past about some of the voice acting or some of the when the trailer came out, we talked about some of the voice casting, and they did try to go back and get as many as possible. Wolverine, if you've noticed, he's a little bit more chippy at Cyclops than usual.
Yeah.
Which that's fine. Or I shouldn't say than usual. Then, I recall them being in the 90s. The one misstep I'll say is Rogue's voice is not, I don't think it's on par with what it was.
Okay.
So my two big knocks for the show are, and I can overlook them both, and I will. I still prefer the animation style of the 90s. And Rogue's voice is not like again, because I was just watching a lot of the X-Men cartoon here in the last couple of weeks and much stronger Southern Belle type of, I'm not going to try to slip into an accent or impression, but just this seems much more toned down and subdued and for Rogue, and otherwise they're doing a good job.
Yeah. You know, one thing I was thinking about with this, because obviously when we were younger, we watched the X-Men cartoon. With this one, I think we know it's 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about that and think about like all the other like Disney Plus and all the other streaming stuff, when I know it's a certain set of episodes, my brain is always trying to look towards the end of it and be like, okay, what's the entire story going to be? But we never did that as kids.
No.
As kids, you just, oh my gosh, X-Men's on, you sit down, you watch it.
Right.
And then
right.
You're just happy. You're just like, oh, this is a good one. The only, like maybe if it's a to be continued, you're like, oh, what's going to happen next? You know? But otherwise, it almost seems like every episode was, and again, I haven't watched the X-Men X-Men cartoon in a long time. So maybe I'm wrong on this one. But I know a lot of cartoons when we were younger. And a lot of TV shows, Full House, Home Improvement, all that stuff. When we were younger, it was like you just watched the episode and you were just happy. And like, I want my brain to get back to that where it's just like, I don't care about what the 10 episode arc is. You know, I just want to see some action and you know, see some mutant powers.
Plenty of those on display. And I won't spoil the second episode for you. But some really major things take place. And obviously if you're to the second episode, you know that Xavier willed the X-Men to Magneto.
Such a dumb idea.
Which is like, you know, and I would say, and Magneto doesn't look right.
No.
But again, I'll overlook it, is what it is. But yeah, just yeah, not how I would have. I guess they have to have it. I mean, because Cyclops is going to have, they're going to. I can't remember if they had this in the first. Did they have the baby in the first episode?
No. Well, she's pregnant, but they didn't have the baby.
Okay.
They have some kind of vision,
right?
Or
and
she
they're
has some kind of vision,
and they are, I think, kind of setting up the fact that he might be stepping away.
Yeah.
Or you know, they might be stepping away because I'm like, can't really be a superhero and a mom or dad. You know, it's not safe. So. Yeah, we'll see. Again, I'm here. I'm here for the ride. 10 episodes. We're two down. We're 20% or one fifth there, Mike. So
mathematically correct, I believe.
All right. Well, let us move on then. Let's see what else we have. We do have some trailers that we posted on social media throughout the week. And how about the one for Star Wars The Acolyte coming June 4th to Disney Plus?
That looks like a lot of action, a lot of fighting, a lot of kids, and I believe Trinity. Was that Trinity that I saw?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I was thinking that too, but I can't think of her name, her actual actress name.
Carrie Ann Moss.
Thank you. Yes. AKA. Carrie Ann Moss. Trinity. She'll always be Trinity to me.
That's true.
And I think I read somewhere where for Acolyte or The Acolyte, you know, they've been doing a lot of these Star Wars shows in that kind of like virtual studio type of thing.
Yes.
But this is going to be more outside, more practical.
Oh, okay.
Less, you know, inside and artificial. So, yeah, be interested in that. I'm sure it probably increases the budget a little bit, but I think. I said when I watched it, I was like, you see all the like the green and yellow lightsabers lighting up in the cloud of dust and starting to run towards the red. I'm like, that's what I want to see.
I agree. Also, I have no idea when this takes place because my Star Wars knowledge is bad.
That's fine.
For a Nerds United podcast, but I don't care. No one listens anyway.
Whoa, hey.
Oh, except for insert name here. But here's the thing. I do enjoy, like, I enjoy that trailer, and like, it made me like, I'm kind of glad that I don't know much about it. I think we talked about this before, where like, I don't have expectations for it, except it looks good. That's it.
Right. And the Hollywood Reporter, had, what's the word I'm looking for? Not announced or released or reported. Thank you, Greg. You're welcome, Greg. That the show takes place 100 years before Phantom Menace. So,
okay, good.
It gives you a little timeline there. So it's
100 years before it's bad. Perfect.
I mean, arguably, you could say Phantom Menace is better than The Last Jedi.
No, not even close.
Really?
Let me think of something else. Let me look up The Last Jedi. Hold on. I got to be looking up.
The Last Jedi is the second in the sequel trilogy.
Oh no, Last Jedi is definitely better. It's not even a comparison. That much I know.
Okay, all right. Well, we will.
Oh yeah, way better. Oh, way better. Oh,
I feel like there's some confirmation bias going on in the realm. All right, so that June 4th, which. I haven't done the math, but I feel like that's kind of like
it's coming up a couple months, 2, 3, 4 months from now.
Going to be a very small gap between X-Men 97 and The Acolyte. So
And amazingly, we can probably watch more than one show in a day. Greg doesn't know how, but it is possible.
I mean, you're not talking to me. Like,
Greg's like, wait a minute, Disney Plus. I'm already watching one show. I haven't finished the show yet. Don't start a new show.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm hurt and offended. Well, I'm not. I'll be fine. Also, later this year, and I don't have the June 16th. Here we go. On Max, we're getting Game of Thrones House of the Dragon Season 2.
Did you finish Season 1?
I did.
Okay. Good to know. I think I was three episodes in, and I was like, okay, three, four episodes. And by the way, I wasn't like, oh, this is horrible. I turned it off. I found other stuff.
Well, you need
to. Also, I think each episode's like an hour long.
Yeah.
That takes me like four tries to watch.
You sound like me now.
Well, I don't fall asleep. I just get bored, and I'm like, I'm gonna play some Red Dead now instead.
I would encourage you to watch Season 1 and be properly prepared, because we need you to have opinions on, is it House Black or House Green?
It's House Green.
It's not.
Yeah, because, well, really? Because you don't like Green Lantern, you like Black Lantern?
I mean, that's a thing, but we're talking apples and Studebakers. We're just not comparing the same thing at all. Again, you watch it and you'll... I don't want to have this debate with you until you watch the show.
Okay.
So, but what Max did, which I think was pretty brilliant, is they put out a trailer that was for House Black, or Team Black, I guess, side of things. And then they put at the same time, they put out a Team Green, side of things. And look, yeah, I'm biased. I don't mind to say, when I posted both, of those trailers a day or two back, I did say that the green team was the wrong team.
Okay.
You gotta be rifle Targaryens, I'd say. But no, I'm excited. I'm excited for, like, look, more dragons could be fun. Dragon battles in the sky. Who doesn't want that, Mike?
I mean, I don't want them here, but yeah, on TV, sure.
You go and you watch House of the Dragon. I think you could have it all watched by this time next week.
No.
Okay, moving on. anyway, so check out those trailers. I'm excited to go back into that world. And then lastly, I don't know how much we have. I shouldn't say lastly. Last trailer or teaser. No, crap, we have two more. Shit. Let me back up, rewind, and try again. We had a little teaser trailer today for, also from Max, The Penguin.
Yeah.
Which is coming out in the fall. I don't know if we have a specific date. It's just say coming this fall to Max. So Colin Farrell back as a definitely unrecognizable Batman villain with no Batman to. I think that's going to be my trickiest part of, like, going all in on this show, is it's a Batman villain, but there's no Batman. It's like Gotham, the TV series, being moved to Max so you can have more violence and bad words.
Yeah, basically. I saw the teaser for it, and I thought, okay, not bad. Will I watch it? Probably, if I remember, I might check it out, but it's not that I'm like, okay, I gotta set my calendar for this, and right. I can't wait till it's on. But part of it might be because it's been a while since I saw The Batman with Robat Battenbat.
Gosh, we haven't even mentioned that name in a while, have we?
I know. I remembered it too.
I think I've only seen that the one time in the theaters.
I might have seen it one and a half times.
And that was 2021, wasn't it?
I believe 2021,
2022. Okay. It was about 2 years ago, yeah. March 4th. So
enjoyed it. A little bit long, but enjoyed it. I think this is going to be basically Sopranos with Penguin kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, set in the DC universe.
Yeah. I think the first episode, and of course this goes for every show, obviously, but the first episode is going to determine whether or not I'm going to continue to watch it. You know, like if the first episode really has to get me, because it's on Max, it's going to be an hour long. This is going to really get me. And I can't have a slow build with this one. I got to have like a first one. What makes me go like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to see the second episode. Cause if not, it'll be some time before I watch it.
To use the young person parlance, it's going to have to slap for you.
Word, yo.
That is no cap.
It's good.
Oh, you better move on before. All right. I think the last trailer or teaser trailer we got this week, unless I missed another one, but I don't think I did, was for this fun-loving individual.
Yes.
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
I'm not saying it a third time.
Saying what a third time?
Hmm?
Saying what a third time?
I'm not saying it.
Okay.
This movie... Mm-hmm. Coming back.
This movie has coming back. Absolutely. That's what all the kids say. No, for this one. So
Michael, and I can't think of his last name for like, Keaton. Thank you. Jeez. I was like, Crichton, that's not right. He's the guy who wrote Jurassic Park. Yeah.
I don't think he's in it.
No. All right. Michael Keaton. So this movie has Michael Keaton reprising the title role of that character, and also brings back Winona Ryder. We saw Wednesday Adams, but I can't think of her actress's name now.
Jenna Ortega,
thank you.
Yeah,
and we saw the mom in the teaser as well.
Yes.
Catherine
O'Hare.
Thank you.
That's
how we make a good team.
Okay. I don't know if that's right though.
Catherine O'Hara. Yeah. Catherine O'Hara. Yeah.
Okay. I just
a legendary Canadian American actress.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No. So for this movie, I saw the original for the first time, like, a year or two ago, maybe. Yeah,
didn't I make you do that? Didn't you do that for the benefit of this show?
Probably, yeah. And so like I don't have a lot of nostalgia with it, but I will say that this teaser trailer did exactly what a teaser trailer is supposed to do, which is make you go, "Oh, I'm interested."
Yeah.
You know, doesn't give away much. You know, we just know he's back. And we saw some other characters, and I'm sure they're going to have more trailers. This isn't a movie that's coming out, right? Or is this on Max or something? I forget.
No, it's going to be a movie.
Okay. I think that might be okay. I think there's enough nostalgia around the first one for sure that people are going to go to the theaters for it. And people have wanted this for a while. And it's the, like you said, the same, Tim Burton's directing it. I know that Al Goff or however it
pronounced Al Goff and Miles Miller.
Miller, the Smallville boys.
Mm-hmm. And also, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but also Seth Graham Smith, who has been pretty active in the Hollywood ranks and has done some books as well, or some novels. So
yep.
Yep. Anyway, they continue.
Oh, no, I was gonna say like I think there's enough with the past that it's gonna be good. It's gonna be hopefully not. I don't think it's gonna be a box office flop. I don't know what the budget is on it and stuff. Hopefully not too much. 1 million, hopefully. No, just kidding. No, it'll be good. I'm interested in it. There's gonna be more trailers. Obviously, that's just the teaser. It comes out in what, September though?
September 6th, yes, sir.
An odd time to have it come out. This is a Halloween movie. Why would you not have it come out in October? Because here's the thing with theaters, it's not even going to be in the theater in October.
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, look, they got to have a reason for it, obviously. But you would think, like, October 15th it comes out. And maybe there was already stuff set up then. Maybe it was like, okay, we can either have it before Halloween or we can have it after Halloween. And after Halloween, it's too close to Christmas, so we're put it on now. Or maybe it has nothing to do with Halloween. I don't know. But I think of this as a Halloween type of movie.
I do too. I don't disagree. Also going to star Monica Bellucci, Willem Dafoe, Justin Theroux, and Bern Gorman. And of those, the only name I'm not familiar with is Bern Gorman. Do you know that name?
No.
Okay, cool. Makes me feel better about where I am in life then. I'm trying to pull up as quickly as I can because I don't want to detract from the other data, but I've seen if I could find a budget for it, and nothing. Probably, I mean, realistically, we probably won't have an actual budget that's released until, you know, closer to the time that it would drop in. Wouldn't you say?
Possibly.
Okay. There's not a whole lot of data about it. So, no, nothing about a budget.
Yep. No budget.
All right, cool. All right. The only thing I other have, let me try that again. The only other thing, Mike, that I have is, how much did you like The NeverEnding Story when you were growing up?
I liked it so much that I never saw it.
So what I'm about to say means nothing to you, is that a studio has acquired the rights to begin work on a NeverEnding Story reboot or remake.
Okay.
So,
well, I guess I got to watch the first one and then the remake.
I think you can watch the first one on Disney Plus.
I would assume so. Seems like a Disney movie.
So the first one's fun. I mean, the first one's pretty classic to most kids. I don't know how.
I've heard very good things about it, but you know, mm-hmm. I don't even, if I did, maybe I saw it once or something like that. I just don't remember it. I remember clips of it. The horse in the pond.
The
Atreyu. Is the Luck Dragon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The Falcor.
Falcor. Yeah. And then isn't Atreyu like the main character?
Atreyu is the one with the horse. He's the one inside the world of Fantasia. Okay. And then Bastion is the boy who's reading the book who kind of gets involved.
I didn't want to start it because then I wasn't going to, it doesn't end. So I would still be reading or watching it. You know?
We wouldn't do this podcast. How it works. Although there is a NeverEnding Story 2 movie that stars Jonathan Brandis. That
sounds dumb.
Oh,
how can you have a NeverEnding Story 2? It doesn't end. The first one didn't. You can't have a sequel to it if the first one doesn't end.
That's a good point, Mike. You're talking to the wrong guy. I didn't make that decision. I didn't greenlight the project. I do remember vaguely watching it as a child, and then I tried putting it on a couple years ago, and I was like, no, can't do it. The original one will. You know, does it hold up? I don't know. It was made in like 1984, so probably not to a certain extent, but you could still get some enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's got that like practical effect charm, you know, that things are a little too sanitized when you're talking a lot of computer generated graphics. But yeah, I mean, so you know, it's fun and there's a lot of heart in it. You know, it's about the movie, and I guess presumably the book that came out in 1979 is about a boy who I think lost his mom to like illness or something like that. So he's just him and his dad. And dad is played in the movie. He's played by the same actor who was Major Dad. If you remember that show.
Okay, yes, of course.
Gerald.
Dean.
No. Anyway.
Gerald Ford.
He's got that kind of brash and abrupt, like, I don't know how to be a single dad. I'm just going to yell and see how that goes. And you know, so anyway, it's a nice little tale.
Well, I will check it out one of these days.
I hope you do.
Yeah.
Before the reboot happens, whenever that's going to happen.
Yes. So.
Mike, we've been at this for shade over an hour now, or just about an hour. Should we call it a day?
Let's
everybody go on with their merry way.
Yes, indeed.
All right. You are the man, the myth, and the legend, and I'm so glad to call you my friend and co-host of the year. You are Mike Luther. I'm Greg Mahochko. This is Nerds United. Thank you again so much for all the support over the years, and maybe a little more support. That'd be great. Tell some more people. Share the video or the podcast and word of mouth or however you want to share Nerds United. We greatly appreciate it. JitteryMonkey.com and all of your favorite podcast apps. And, of course, right here on YouTube for those of you with the benefit of a screen in front of you. That fell apart quickly. But for the co-host of the year, Mike Luther, I'm Greg Mahochko. This is Nerds United. We remind you each and every week to be kind.
And rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.